Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me sour side to side.
Pumping first thing in the morning. Had a busy weekend in motorsports. Had the Cup Series. truck series. Xfinity was off, I believe. Let me check the stats. Yes. And you had the NHRA in Atlanta for the Southern Nationals, which is the final event at that track. Hard to believe that so many, you go to a place so many times and it's like always on the schedule. And then next thing you know, they're like not going there anymore. That happened with Englishtown, which was one of the oldest venues for NHRA drag racing. And they stopped running there. They used to run motocross events. And I guess the place got too built up around there and people bitching about the noise. You figure motorsports generated a lot of sound, especially when you're talking dragsters and nitro funny cars. And, you know, those things were loud as anything. My first ever drag race that I had covered, well, the only one, I think, was Raceway Park in Englishtown. It's close enough to the house to drive to. The other next one, I think, had I still been up that way, would have been Raceway Park in Maple Grove. That one's still around. But Atlanta, the Southern Nationals, is going to be a thing of the past. Going out, I guess, to see next year's schedule, where they schedule it. And but it won't be at Atlanta. I mean, you got that, and you got the four wides and Charlotte coming up this weekend. I mean, you had the four wides in Vegas a couple weekends ago. So, it's just funny how the times change, venues change now. As far as that goes, well, let's see. Let's see what happened there this weekend. Billy Torrance was your number one qualifier. And your two finalists were Antron Brown and Steve Torrance. So Billy is your number one qualifier. Didn't have no opponent in the first round, but tells you they only had 15 cars entered. But Billy Torrance went up against Antron Brown in round two, and Antron was pretty consistent with 0.65 reaction time, 0.57 in round two against Billy, and then up against Brittany Force with a 0.45. Man, these ETs, 3.78, 3.785. In the semis against Brittany, he had a 3.786. She had a 3.785. It was a whole shot win because his 0.45 up against her 0.73 put him in the finals. Steve Torrance, on the other hand, he was your number two qualifier. So father and son, one and two. Torrance up against Buddy Hull in round one, then up against Justin Ashley in round two. Ashley with a 0.39 reaction and a 3.79 with a one. Torrance with an 0.53 reaction with a 3.77 with a 2. That whole shot made it rather close, but wasn't enough to cross Justin Ashley to cross the finish line first. So Torrance moves on against Sean Langdon, former champ himself, with the Allen Abbey team before that disbanded. Then 0.67 for Torrance, 0.54 for Langdon, but they were running almost funny car times because Torrance with a 4.00 with a 9, and then Langdon with a 4.00 3-4. So, had some, looks like, traction issues there. And Antron Brown up against Torrance. .054 for Antron Brown. .057 for Steve Torrance. Pretty close off the tree, but Antron with a better ET at 375 with a 2. To Torrance's 379 with a 4 was enough to give Antron his first Wally of the season. The thing about it is he tweeted it, or did he tweet it, posted it on Facebook. Somebody saying, yo, dude, they're not airing it till 11:30, which is true. They didn't air it on TV till 11:30 on Fox Sports 1. And hey, I'd have been happy to win, too. So he apologized for leaking it out. But, you know, if you're watching it and you're trying to wait to thing one year, like being top fuel was the final result, was the final event, usually, because they started off with fuel, funny car, pro stock bike, all the way to the finals, and then they reverse it. So it's pro stock bike starts the final round. And then it's pro stock, and then funny car, and then the final event of the day, the headliner, I guess, is the top fuel final. Well, that's one you didn't have to watch. At least you didn't find out what happened in the rest of it. But, you know, that's how it goes. In the funny car division, we have get a third up against John Force. Johnny hasn't gotten to the finals in a while. Neither has Tasca. I think the last time they ran that good is when I had them both on the show back in the NJC days. Little funny stories here. John Force was scheduled to be on. He was running behind for something he had to do, sponsor garage stuff. You know, I understand how these things go. The PR guy comes on on. John's going to be late. He might not make it. Well, Ashley Force do. Hell yeah. Sure. So we had Ashley on. And toward the end of the show, about 5 minutes ago, there's a call coming in from John Force. He did make it. And I had, you know, had the local guy from the big Philadelphia paper at the time. He used to come on the show as well, and he was listening to that, and he caught the end of it. He gets a hold of me, and he's like, how the hell did you have John Force to 3 minutes? I said, if it wasn't the end of the show, he probably would have been on longer. But, yeah, 3 minutes, you know, John, when he starts, he asked him a question, you got a half an hour segment there. The only other one I used to get that kind of fun with on the interview was better kill the mic for a bit. So I just need Kenny Wallace. I think I'm going to have him back on because he's been tweeting out some stuff. He's just a fun conversation. Well, anyway. Well, let's see who in round one. J.R. Todd was the top qualifier. John Force was the 11th, so he Alexis DeJory in round one, and we didn't have, we had one step on the ladder, not at all, so J.R. Todd wound up in the round two up against nobody, so he wound up in the semis automatically. He had to make a run just to make the pass. Up against John Force. John Force in the 11th spot up against Cruz Pedregon, qualified 4th. Pretty close there, but Force with the ET and the reaction time advantage to put Cruz Pedregon, the cruiser, back to the truck. Up against Ronnie Capps in round two. Ronnie is on a roll of late. He's been doing pretty good the last few years. I think John Force took a while. I think they're starting to get something figured out there. 061 for Force, 062 for Capps. But DT-wise, John Force, who's older than me, still has it in. And Ronnie Capps with a 404 or so. No competition there. And then up against J.R. Todd in the semis. Pretty close. J.R. Todd with an 072 and a 403, but Force a little bit slower off the line. 076, 4/100th, 1/1000th of a second. Can make a difference, but it didn't. Force with the better ET at a 398 was able to secure the spot in the finals. Bob Paska, on the other hand, up against Paul Lee in round one. Not even close there on the off the light. Lee had a better advantage. Paska 124 to Lee's 088. But going down the track where it counts, that 4/100th difference did not help. It was Paska with a 422 to Paul Lee's 447 propelled Paska against Blake Alexander. That was a pretty close one there. I think the difference was the reaction off the light. Paska with an 073, Blake Alexander with an 089, but Paska had a 401 with a 4, and Alexander had a 401 with a 6. So if they both got off the line together, Paska would have still taken the round, but it would have been a photo finish. And up against Matt Hagen. Hagen took out Robert Height in round one, and then facing Tim Wilkerson in round two. Wilkerson and Paska, the only two Fords in the field. It was fairly close in that, but then up against Paska in the semis, Paska with an 057, Hagen with an 084. Hagen with a 397 with a 4, Paska with a 398 with a 1. 3/100th of a second advantage off the light gave Paska the whole shot win, taking the round and moving to the finals up against his old buddy. I remember John Force, when he drew the 4, he used to have Paska's name on the front of it. So it came down to 055 for John Force and an 063 for Paska. 401 with a 5 for Force. 0 with a 4 for Paska. Talk about a photo finish there. The 401 was nullified by Paska's 400, even though the 1/100th difference between the two ETs came down to 2/1000ths of a second advantage for Paska, which stretched out to be a 11/100ths of a second at the line for Paska, giving him the Wally. Low ET of the day was Hagen with a 394. Best reaction time was Hagen with an 055. Top speed was Paska. I didn't go through the details in the top fuel. Let me do that real quick. Steve Torrance was the runner-up. Justin Ashley, 374 with a 6 low ET. Best reaction time, 025 for Langdon. Best top speed, Brittany Force, on to the pro stops. Greg Anderson and Vincent Nobile in the finals. Haven't seen that name up there in a while. Vincent Nobile used to drive the Nitro Fish car. Didn't have a pro stocks. Don't drag racers don't have numbers on their car, so you got to go by the sponsors. Like Electric Blue, and was really cool looking sponsor colors. and they always stood out. You could always tell the nitro fish car. But Vincent O'Beal used to drive that. Anyway, Greg Anderson, the number one qualifier. Fernando Quadra in round one. Matt Hartford in round two. Erica Enders in round three. How the hell did she lose that round? 009 off the light. 009. Yeah, 657 with a 661 ET. I mean, I don't think that would have... She ran that car probably as good as it was going to run. It was her... Now she had a 658 in round one, a 659 in round two. If she would have got that, I guess, that grip right off the thing, 657 and a 659, hell, even a 659 and a 658, that 009 would have been enough to give her a whole shot over Anderson. Vincent O'Beal, on the other hand, where am I going down? Number 11 qualifier up against Troy Coughlin Jr. .057 for Nobile. 114. LB3A. What the hell is that? That was his ET. Either way, that's a new code or something. I don't know that one. Then up against Aaron Stanfield in round two, an 024 for Nobile. 026 minus, so he red light there. Stanfield with a red light. 046 for Nobile to 055 against Derek Kramer, and a 664 with a 660. There's it is right there. 04, 05. 6-4, 6-0. There's your difference. And sets the stage for the finals. Now this, Greg Anderson, 043. Vincent Nobile, 028. Off the light, Nobile has it. Anderson, 656. Nobile, a 659. There's only a 2/100th gap off the light and a 3/100th gap at the end of the finish. So they both 56 with an 8 and 59 with an 8. That 100th, that third 100th of a second gives it to Anderson. And low ET, 656 for Anderson. Best reaction time, Dallas Glenn with a 002. It's almost dead zero perfect. Erica Enders probably a second on that with a 009. And top speed, Erica Enders, 210.11 miles an hour. And we go to the motorcycles. Internet's a little slow. I'm trying to change pages. Scotty Polacek up against Matt Smith in the finals. Let's see how they roll. Polacek, your number one, up against Jerry Savoy in round one. And Polacek slow off the line, but a whole second difference makes a difference. Actually, it was 3/100ths of a second difference. But that was made up for down the track. Up against Oler in round two. Again, Oler with an 016. Polacek with an 062. A 6.808 versus 6.882. Again, that 1/100th of a second, 8/100ths of a second, overrode that 5/100ths of a second advantage off the tree. Then up against Polacek, up against Sam Pei. Same deal, 020 off the line to Sam Page, 008. But his 6.80 versus her 6.91. There's your difference right there. Setting it up against Matt Smith. Matt Smith, Scotty Polacek off the light. 035 for Polacek. Smith, red lights. barely minus .001 costing him. He had a 6.8 DT, which would have beaten Polacek's 6.92. That red light cost him the Wally. Low ET, Eddie Krawick, 6.79 with an 8. Best reaction time, John Hall, 0.002. Top speed, Eddie Krawick, 2.017. Let's check our standings now. Click here for unofficial. No. Steve Torrance leads Antron Brown by 28 points. Sean Langdon is third. Billy Torrance is fourth. Brittany Force is fifth. Josh Hart, sixth. Doug Kalita, seventh. Justin Ashley, eighth. Leah Pruitt, ninth. And Clay Milliken, tenth. Closest one, 11th. I'm looking at 56 points behind 10th is Mike Salinas. Tony Stewart, was buckling in for his 300-mile run, so I guess he was taking his fiance's dragster down the track for some. He's getting suited up for his first ever 300-mile-an-hour run, so I wonder how that went. I didn't see any tweets or Facebook posts on that one. So, anyway, on the funny car side, Bob Tasca has a 60-point lead over J.R. Todd. Matt Hagen is third, 40 back of Todd, so hung it out. John Force in fourth, Ronnie Capps in fifth. There's a tight race between third and sixth because Hagen's 100. Force is two behind Hagen. Caps is 12 behind Hagen and 10 behind Force. And then Robert Height is another 11 behind Caps, so 23 behind Hagen. So that's a close one there. That's like one round. Oh, and Wilkerson 124 back. So one round between third and seventh. Alexis DeJoria in eighth, Cruz Pedregon in ninth, and Blake Alexander in tenth. On to the pro stock. Greg Anderson leads Eric Enders by 79 points. Man, I wish she could have beat him. And then taking the Wally yesterday, that would have put her 30 points closer. Derek Kramer third. Aaron Stanfield, fourth. Mason McGahey, fifth. Kyle Koretsky, sixth. Troy Coughlin, Jr., seventh. Eighth, Matt Hartford. Ninth, Kenny Delco. And tenth, Chris McGahey. And the bikes, who's running the bikes? Greg Anderson. Matt Smith still has a 3-point lead over Scotty Polacek. Ryan Oler is third. Angel Sampe is fourth. Steve Johnson, fifth. Corey Reed, sixth. Angie Smith, seventh. Karen Stouffer, eighth. Ninth, Joey Gladstone. And Kelly Klontz rounds out your top ten. And it's weird seeing Andrew Hines, Eddie Krawick below the top 10. I mean, these guys used to be at the top of the pack just about every event. Now the one in the top 10 that races for them or with them as a teammate is Angel Sampe, who, believe it or not, is a 3-time NHRA champion and has the most wins for a woman in the NHRA. So she knows how to get it done on a bike. So do they. So, I mean, it used to be like 1 year Hines would win the championship. The next year, Krawick would win the championship. I guess they have some stuff to figure out because you know they can ride. So, but we'll see what happens. We're going to four wides in Charlotte this coming week. So, let's move from Atlanta to Kansas. We'll start with ARCA with the Dutch Boy 150. Race results. There we go. ARCA doesn't like stick the thing right out there. Here's your Dutch Boy 150. Here's the weird thing. Sponsored by Joe Gibbs Racing. Car owner is Coy Gibbs, which is Ty Gibbs.
Pace car is off.
What the hell?
Race flag is in the air. We are racing.
I did not mean that. We'll get to the points. I'll have to go back and there we go, standings. But sorry about that. Ty Gibbs takes the win. He led once for all 100 laps. You got me on that. It's a mile and a half track. That's why it's the 150, 100 laps. Ty Gibbs led every freaking lap. Drew Dollar, who drives for Bill Venerini, was second. Corey Heim was third, another Billy Venerini car. Jack Wood, sorry, dude, for GMS, was fourth. Derek Griffith was fifth, another Venerini-owned. Thad Moffitt, sixth. Greg Van Alst, seventh. Kyle Sieg, eighth. Nick Sanchez, ninth, and Alex Club rounds out your top 10. Who else is in the field? Only 20 cars. No ladies in the field. So Corey Heim right now is at the top spot. Drew Dollar is second in the points. Ty Gibbs with his big win is third. He's only 23 back, though. Kyle Sieg, fourth. Thad Moffitt, fifth. Jack Wood, sixth. Nick Sanchez, eighth. Holmes, ninth. Tony Breidlinger. Brett Holmes is eighth. Tony Breidlinger is ninth. And D.L. Wilson rounds out your top ten. Where's all the ladies? Tony is spelled T-O-N-I, and that's not usually how a dude spells Tony. Picture, for crying out loud. Sponsor, Roman Empire. Owner, Tyler Young. All right, well. Drivers. Tony Breidinger. Sebastian Bourdais. Did he run in ARCA as well? I'm looking for Tony Breidinger. Where is it? B-R-E-I. There we go. From Hillsboro. Oh, come on. All right. Scratch that. I was looking. All right, let's see what we got here for the truck series. Loading. Let's see if they loaded up yet. To the F. Kyle Busch. Takes the checkered flag over Ross Chastain. Okay, wow. They actually cleared it up this time. Austin Hill was third. Christian Eckes was fourth. John Hunter Nemechek fifth. Todd Gilliland sixth. Seventh, Zane Smith. Ninth, Raphael Lessard. Eighth, Raphael Lessard. I got him seventh and ninth. Johnny Sauter, ninth, and Ben Rhodes rounds out your top ten. Haley Deegan, 13th. Good run for her. She's Tanner Gray, 18th. Started 18th. Where's our pal? Jennifer Jo Cobb, started 39th. Gained two spots. She needs some help. Let's send Jennifer some help. She probably could win if she had better stuff, but she's an owner driver and trying to launch her own get your own sponsors and all might be tough because A, they want to see performance, and B, you can't get performance without money, so it's kind of a zero-sum game there. Average speed, 119.58. Margin of victory, 0.665. Took an hour, 45 minutes, 22 seconds. Kyle Busch with the win. Got his 61st victory in the Camping World Truck Series. I believe he leads that one. 14 lead changes among seven drivers. And five cautions for 25 laps. Take a look at the points leaders in the truck series. 10 make the playoffs now instead of the former, used to be 8. So the top 10 are John Hunter Nemechek, 2 wins, Ben Rhodes with 2 wins. Austin Hill is 3rd, Sheldon Creed is 4th. Stuart Friesen, 5th, Matt Crafton, 6th, Zane Smith, 7th, Todd Gilliland, 8th, Grant Enfinger, 9th, Johnny Sauter, 10th, Chandler Smith, 11th, Johnny Sauter, 10th. Anybody below that with a win? No. So you have all your winners in the top 2. That wasn't a Cup Series guy, because I know Kyle Busch won one. He's not running for points, so. Let's see what our winner had to say. Didn't want that, but I hit there. Audio. We unveil the next gen week, Darlington week in Kansas. Yeah. All right. Saturday, Arkham and Iron Series. Oh, we had Ty Gibbs there. Race winner, Kyle Busch.
Hey, we are now joined by tonight's race winner, Kyle Busch. Kyle, I think you're on mute there a second. There you go. Yeah, no, Roddy, I know, congratulations on the victory. And, you know, you're a regular in victory lane, but you've won now 5 straight as an organization, Kyle Busch Motorsports. How special of an accomplishment is that for you now?
I mean, it's pretty awesome. You know, we've had some really great years over the years and some great accomplishments for the team. And it's just a true team effort and a testament to everybody at Kyle Busch Motorsports, everybody at Rowdy Manufacturing, all the guys that do a great job, guys and girls back in the shop. And so it's fun to have the opportunities with running for my own truck and going out there and be able to put on good shows, good finishes, good races, and work with some good talented people.
I'm going to open the floor for questions. Our first question is going to come from Randy Kovitz. Go ahead with the question, Randy.
Yeah, can you hear me, Kyle?
Got you.
Okay, great. Okay, well, happy birthday. I guess this is a day early celebration.
Yeah, tomorrow's the birthday, so that's right.
Okay. Hey, you've now won 8 times here at Kansas across the 3 series. Is that one of the reasons why you picked this to run one of your 5 trucks races? Just, what is it about here?
You know, Kansas is a good racetrack for us. We've run well here in the past. We've always been fast. I feel like we've had a lot of races slip through our fingers here over the years. So, you know, this is a place I wanted to get back to and run again. It's also Stephen's home. Now they're from just up the road in Wichita. So it's nice to be able to race in front of those guys and close to their hometown and be able to put on a win. And, you know, send that back to Wichita is pretty awesome for those guys. So happy to do it. You know, we've only got one more this year, so hopefully we can win that one and send John Hunter hopefully on the rest of the year to take care of business.
Got the question, Bob.
Yeah, Kyle, you were frustrated, it sounded like, with the transmission after the next last restart. So do you change anything on that restart, or do you do the same thing and just hope it works better that final time around?
Really, there was nothing to change. I mean, the shift from second to third was just so bad that everybody behind me would run me over. So I tried to time it the best I could with the 21 truck. I gave him a shot when I was in second gear, and then when I had to shift to third, that's when the guys behind me ran over me. I think it was the 38, Todd. He gave me a shot in the bumper that got me to the outside of the 21, and then he veered left and went through the middle, and I think we were 4 wide at some point or something, but, you know, there's really nothing you can do. You just have to go back and relook at everything and figure out why we were so far off. I don't know if we were that far off last year and we didn't change anything or if this is the new setting that we were going with today, but it wasn't right, so we'll try to fix that.
Question will come from Zach Albert. Go ahead with your question.
Thanks, Matt. Kyle, just wonder if you could speak about just how the job that John Hunter has done this year. I mean, I think if you throw out the Bristol dirt race, you know, he's been remarkably consistent, and I think 5 top fives. You know, we're about a third of the way through the season. Is he about at the point where you thought he would be, you know, this time of year?
Yeah, for sure. No, I think John Hunter's done a great job. I actually think he's a little bit ahead of schedule on what we anticipated and bringing Eric Phillips back in the fold, getting him up to speed and used to everything again, bringing John Hunter on, getting him up to speed. I know John Hunter's got talent. He can drive race cars. And so, you know, he's done a really, really good job working with Eric and working with our equipment, doing what he can to get the most out of it. I mean, today we were going to run 1-2, and we were, I think, pretty far ahead of third place. So, that gives me some good confidence going into the rest of the year for those guys that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for sure. You know, I don't know why they pitted. I know they have win banks, so it really didn't matter for them if they weren't going to win. The finish doesn't matter. So, you know, I'm all for that call. I think Eric did a good job of just trying to find something that could help those guys. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to them going next week, hopefully carrying on this winning streak to make it another one at Darlington, right? Yeah.
Yep. Great. Thank you.
There's Kyle Busch on his win. Also, Eric McClure had passed away. I couldn't find out why. They didn't say, but it wasn't that old. So, just kind of weird. But, come on. Trying to get my – there we go. Ty Gibbs. Let's go to Ty. We didn't get Ty on here. Let's see what he had to say about his win and, I guess, leading all the laps.
We will start with our runner-up finisher, $2, rapper the number 15, Sunbelt Rentals Toyota for Venerini Motorsports Group. Looks like you had a shot at Ty on that last restart. How did the day go from your perspective?
Yeah, we were just kind of second best.
Good old interwebs. Let's try it again.
All right, Ty. So, Ty, welcome, first of all, congratulations. You have given a new answer to the question that I probably have been asked more than anyone. Any last driver to lead every lap in a race. Today, that's you. You led all 100, man. Congratulations. How did you make that happen today?
Yeah, man, it was. We had a really good car, and I can't thank all the guys back at the shop. You know, Mark, Marlon, Matt, Chris Bowen, everybody that puts in the hard work for these days. And it was a fun time going out there and learning the track too. I feel like I got a good handful of experience for the future, so it'll be able to be fun to come back, and maybe we can run the wall next time we come back. So it'll be something different.
I know you have had a couple of close calls going for that every lap led category there, and you finally were able to put the period on. I know that's got to be just another notch on the belt there. You're a pretty competitive guy. You like to come out and win the pole and sweep practice and lead them all and go to victory lane. You finally pulled it off.
Yeah, you know, I feel like we did a super really good today. I feel like this is one of our best races for sure. You know, they did a lot that really means a lot, you know. We're racing, and I feel like that we made a statement, even though I don't really think we have to, but we'll be here, and, you know, there's I feel like nothing really to make. I come to race. I'm not coming to brag. I'm not coming to be cocky or humble. I'm just coming here to race, and there's nothing to it. I'm just flat line. So I'm just going to leave it like that forever, and I just like to race cars and maybe do the best I can.
There you have Ty Gibbs, the last person to lead every lap, win the pole. In other words, spank the field. Anyway, let's check out the main event of the weekend, the NASCAR Cup Series. Just we were saying NASCAR Cup Series. First it was the Monster Energy Series, NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series, or Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Now before that it was the Sprint Cup Series, and then it was the Nextel Cup Series, and then way back in the day it was the Winston Cup Series. But anyway, Kyle Busch on Saturday, if it was a early birthday present, being his birthday was yesterday, he said, yeah, but it was a birthday sweep for Kyle because he took the checkered flag, led four times for 20 laps. He won stage one, didn't get back out front till stage three or the final stage because Kyle Larson won stage two. Believe it or not, Larson led nine times for 132 of the 267 laps, but didn't have that good a finish, which is kind of weird. He finished 19th, and he started 32nd, so I don't know. Let's see. He was on the lead lap. I guess he had some sort of mishap somewhere to where he lost spots. Maybe pits, who knows. Anyway, Kyle Busch does take the win. Kevin Harvick, the four car started fourth, came in second, so he cut that number in half. Brad Keselowski, who started on the pole, came in third. Matt DiBenedetto, I'll tell you, this guy, since he's been in an upper echelon car, has been running rather well. He is fourth. Defending champ Chase Elliott is fifth. Martin Truex Jr. sixth. Tyler Reddick seventh. Chris Buescher eighth. William Byron ninth. And Austin Dillon rounds out your top 10. The points. So we got 16 people going for a championship. Denny Hamlin still leads the points with no wins. He came close last week, but didn't happen. Martin Truex is second with two wins. William Byron third with a win. Joey Logano fourth with a win. Ryan Blaney fifth with a win. Brad Kay sixth with a win. Chase Elliott seventh. Kevin Harvick eighth, no wins. Kyle Larson ninth with a win. Kyle Busch got the win and locked in Sunday. He's in 10th. Austin Dillon 11th with no wins. Christopher Bell 12th. Michael McDowell 13th. And Alex Bowman 14th, each locked in with a win. 15th, Chris Buescher, and on the bubble, Matt DiBenedetto. 12 points behind him, though, is Kurt Busch in 17th. So, and sorry about that. And in 16th, not far behind, 6 points behind Kurt Busch. So that would put, I guess, no, I read that wrong. Anyway, he's still close enough. He's 18 points, yeah, behind DiBenedetto is Tyler Reddick. And Ricky Stenhouse in 19. They're both tied, so it's pretty close at the bubble there. So we'll have to see and wait and see how that plays out. Let's get our race winner. Kyle Busch, and we have Coy Gibbs, the vice chairman of and chief operating officer of Joe Gibbs Racing, his daddy.
Going to be joined here by our race winner today, Kyle Busch, and then Coy Gibbs from Joe Gibbs Racing. And Kyle, happy birthday to you, and sweeping the weekend in the Bushy McBush Race 400. How satisfied are you with today's picture?
Obviously very satisfied. You know, we had a strong car. We ran up front all day. Dropping the green flag, we were heading towards the front, so that was definitely a confidence booster. And just kept trying to make little adjustments to the car all day long in order to get where we wanted it there towards closer towards the end. And nothing was really hitting on it and making it better, but the final two adjustments definitely were a positive for us. And didn't necessarily take us from a third-place car to a winning car, but all the restarts and circumstances did and got us in the right position when we needed it.
Awesome. And Coy, from your perspective, this has to be a really satisfying day for you as well. First, you had Ty winning yesterday in the ARCA Menard Series race, and then Kyle bringing it home today. How satisfied are you after this victory?
That was a great weekend. It's great to see Kyle win. We're going to get back on track. It's been a while, but I can feel it. Him and Ben are clicking, so we're looking for a lot more.
I'm going to open the floor for questions. Our first question is going to come from Mark Guerra. Go ahead with your question, Mark.
Thank you. Kyle, 17 seasons now. You talked about the importance of winning a race every year and the history behind that. You're now tied with David Pearson, one behind Richard Petty. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, gives me chills. I don't know if I just got a chill from the air conditioning or actually hearing that, you know. So it's meaningful. It's a huge accomplishment. I feel like any accomplishment that's still out there that's able to be achieved to get it is something to be honored with. And so, you know, being able to do it 17 years now and hopefully go on into 18, 19, 20, whatever it is, there's definitely not very many things that you're going to beat the king at. That's for darn sure. So, you know, hopefully we can continue that tradition and make sure that we get to 18, get to 19, and so on.
Our next question.
There you have Kyle Busch talking about winning one race every year for 17 years, as well as the sweeping the weekend. It looks like he does have another crew chief instead of, that might be why, they probably moved the passed one around. But, you know, it always happens. Anyway, coming up this week, we have the Lady in Black. All three touring series will be in action Friday, 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. We have the Camping World Truck Series for the LiftKitsForLess.com 200. Well, sounds like a place to buy lift kits for your pickup or our SUV. If I'm talking about a real SUV, you know, Tahoe, Explorer, Expedition, you know, one something that's built on a truck frame. Not the crossover time. It's a car frame that looks like an SUV. You know, your smaller ones, Ford Edges or Foresters or Outbacks. I don't know, that new Kia Telluride is a pretty good size one, I think. And Hyundai makes a huge one, too. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And then you have the Steakhouse Elite 200 at Darlington Raceway. That'll be May 8th at 1 p.m. And then Sunday, the main event of the weekend, the Lady in Black on the track Too Tough to Tame. I've had named both names over the years. It's an egg-shaped track, so it kind of is a little differently shaped. So it makes it hard because instead of you get a little tighter in two corners than you do the other two, and they did one time flip-flop the track. So this way they could fit more grandstands on the front stretch because you used to have so what used to be one and two is now three and four and vice versa. But May 9th, 3:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. It's all on Fox Sports 1 this weekend. The Goodyear 400. Not the Southern 500, the Goodyear 400. Anyway, that's our show for today. May the 4th be with you. I have figured I have to get that in. I'll get in tonight. I'm Vinny B., your host. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.